But anyway, we're going to talk today about failing forward. Failing forward. You know, it's kind of an odd little way of looking at things, but, you know, we all sometimes fail, you know, stumble. And I don't know, but a quote I'm going to go back to several times is, sometimes I may fail, but I'm not a failure. Okay? We need to look at it like that. Because sometimes, have you ever felt like perhaps you've failed God? I know there's been some times in my life when, you know, as I look back, you know, that I, you know, I've had those feelings, you know, go on inside of me that I've failed him in some way, shape, or form. Perhaps we did something wrong, and that happens, or sometimes we also don't follow through with something that we said we were going to do, and that's happened in my life, and because of commitment. So what happens then is that, you know, either way we do it, the devil, what he does is he comes in and he messes with our mind. And then when that happens, after a while, we can get to feel ashamed, okay? And that's not of God. And, you know, failure sometimes is hard because it's hard to accept because it's so personal because it deals with us, doesn't it, as a person? You know, maybe whatever has happened. The scripture I want to look at today, kind of a springboard, is found in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. And it says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in a time of calamity. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much right now for the stirring of your Spirit, Lord, in each of our hearts. That, Lord, we just want to draw nigh to you, because when we do that, you know you're going to draw nigh to us. Lord, right now in this time of need, Lord, we just cry out to you that you're going to minister your life and your love to each and every one of us. Thank you for that gentle, still, small voice speaking into each of our hearts today. Lord, just stir up the gift in me and use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to do a quote from somebody that you probably, most of you have probably heard from. Michael Jordan, basketball player, in my opinion, probably the greatest player of all time. That could be debatable by some, but, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. But anyway, this is his quote. He says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. He never gives up, you know, and we need to look at it from that way, because I want you to repeat this after me. You know, sometimes I may fail, but I'm not a failure. So say that with me. Sometimes I may fail, but I'm not a failure. Okay. Because I do know that the devil comes in and he will lie to you and make you feel like that you're not important, that you're not any good. All these different emotions come in, because sometimes what I think is when we fail God, I mean, we fail each other frequently, right? I mean, we'd admit that, right? You failed. If you're a wife, you've probably failed your husband. If you're a husband, you failed your wife. If you're a parent, you failed your kids. If you're an employee, you failed your boss. If you're a boss, you probably failed your employees, if we all admit it, right? But sometimes when we feel like we failed God, I mean, that just gets out there for me, like, oh my, I never want to feel God. Or fear God. I don't want to fear him either in the bad way. I fear him in a respectful way, but I'm not afraid to go to him. But I don't want to fail him. I don't want to miss him in any way, shape, or form, but it happens. Because that's the first point I want to see today, that failure does happen. We just have to accept that. You know, and what happens is the fact that we have to understand that none of us will ever be right 100% of the time. None of us will be right 100% of the time. And we have to accept that. Now, some people, you know, are right a lot. You know what I mean? But they'll never be 100%. You know, we need to stay humble, because failure will never be taken off the table this side of glory. Because you and I have to deal with something in our life, and it's our old nature. And it's that old nature that rises up every now and then, and hey, sometimes we just miss it. That's just the way it is. You make a bad decision. You maybe bought something you shouldn't have bought. You maybe overpaid for something you overpaid for, and you just made some mistakes, and whatever the case may be. Because we're all still dealing with that flesh nature in our life, and you know, we need to cut ourselves some slack, and we need to cut other people some slack. You know, there's a lot of people that really feel this in their life, and it just drives them away from ever really getting to the place they need to be in God. You know, to me, it would be great. Now, I do believe in spirit-led decisions. I'm not going to lie to you. I do believe that God speaks to his people. And I know when God speaks to me. But sometimes, I'll be honest, I'm not totally sure on something. You know what I mean? Have you ever had those decisions you have to make? I don't really know what God's telling me of this. It just seems like God wants me to choose. You know, I prefer he would step in, but he didn't. Whatever the case may be. And so we're in that. And it would be great if we could stand here and say today that, you know, all our decisions are going to be spirit-led. But what happens, the truth is, our emotions have a tendency to get in the way sometimes. We make a bad decision because of our emotions. Now, emotions are good. Everybody loves to feel love and all that stuff. But I tell you what, for the most part, our emotions can't be trusted all the time. Because it's the emotions when they come into our life and we feel these things and then we make some bad decisions. You know, there's a lot of people that maybe get married to the wrong person because there's a chemical issue going on in their life. You know what I'm saying? But them people do not mesh together at all. Their emotions got in there. And it forced them to make a decision that was very painful along the way. So what we need to do is get to the place in our life, and especially in our walk with God, that we're objective and learn how to not make failure personal. You know, if we can do that, you know what I mean? It hurts when you fail. You know, right now March Madness is going on, right? What'd they start off with, 64 teams or so? Well, there's not 64 left. You can't win every game. Somebody's going to lose. You got to understand that. Somebody's going to lose, and your team may lose. Your team may fail. Somebody may miss that last shot that was easy. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, I'll be honest. I was working with a guy, and, you know, he's older than I am, so that's how old he is. And it was about 2 years ago, and we was together talking, and he was talking to, you know, was several of us there, and he says, "You remember that time in high school that I missed that shot?" What? 40-some years ago, and you're still thinking about that shot. See, that shot has framed him. You know, whether we know it or not, those things that happen in our life can cause us to be able to look at things wrong, and we're not objective anymore. You know, once we accept that failure is going to be a part of your life, you can move on. You can just move on. And we need to get to that place in our life that we don't allow those things. See, one problem that sometimes I think that we do is we can mistake failure and sin, because all sin is failure, but not all failure is sin. You see what I mean? All sin is failure because we've missed the mark with God, but not all the times that we have failed is it a sin. It was just a wrong decision. It was just something we didn't maybe have all the information that we needed, or maybe we looked at the data wrong, or whatever the case may be, and we got to get to that place in our life where we can just let go of it. See, what I found is the fact about lies. Lies are out there, right? The worst thing about a lie is that we're not aware that we're believing a lie. Have we? How can you? You think it's truth. So how do we get out of that? You know, what do we do in our life? You know, that's what church is about. Not to lie to you, but Iron sharpens iron when we come here together, you know, and especially if you, you know, take the next step and maybe try to build some relationships in the church and, you know, go to Bible studies and things, and then you kind of rub elbows with each other and you kind of, you know, talk about things and bring things out in the open. And you do all these things, and little by little, those lies, they start to get pulled apart in our life because we're with other people. But see, the devil, what he wants to do is he wants to isolate us. God never wants us to be isolated. He doesn't want us to be on our own and just to kind of do that, because what happens then is any kind of thought can go in there, and if we got a pain or something in our soul, then we don't deal with that, and then we start to interpret information wrongly. And then we can misunderstand, and the idea, you know, even to the fact that we feel ashamed. Feel ashamed about our relationship with God. Feel ashamed about some of the things, you know, that we do in life. And see, you know, we're trying to uproot that right now and be able to break those tangles, all those things that the enemy tries to come into our life, because we will never move forward in life unless we learn how to let go of our failures. Unless we learn how to let go of those times. You know, I can, as I'm speaking right now, I can just think of some times in my life that maybe I've done something, you know, that I've, you know, failed my wife or said something wrong or did something wrong or with my kids, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I could easily say, you know, well, that's just who I am. That's just the way it is. But see, that's not who God wants me to be. And I'm not willing to accept that lie from the devil that that's who I really am. I want to see who God wants me to be. See, I don't wake up every day thinking that I'm going to be perfect. I wake up every day thinking I'm going to be forgiven. And that's where we need to get in our life. If you're a perfectionist, and this is hard for you to accept, because, you know, there's so much pressure. You want to do it right. You want to be perfect all the time. And it's putting yourself under so much strain and so much pressure. You know, I watch it in the young people, you know, and different things and what they do. They just have misunderstood what life's really all about, and the lie that is that they have to be perfect all the time, that they have to get straight A's, that they have to do all these things, and boom, boom, they're just putting on more pressure on themselves and all these things. And it's just the lie is just, it's tearing them apart. They can't carry that load. We were never meant to carry that load. That load is from the devil. We don't have, yes, I wanted my kids to get A's, but they didn't all the time. All I've ever asked my kids, and I've told them this, and you've heard me say this before, you know, especially when it comes to sports and different things, you know, you may not always be the best, but you can always just do your best. That's all anybody will ever ask. Just do your best, the best you can. And you know, that's good enough. That's good enough. See, the last thing, like I do, I don't want to fail God. I know that. That's in my DNA. That's how I'm wired. But sometimes it's the first thing that I do. The first thing that I do is I fail Him, maybe in some way, shape, or form. You know, maybe I don't, you know, get up and pray like I promised I would. Have you ever promised you'd do things for God? I have. I've made some promises, and they last for a little bit, and then finally sometimes, you know, they don't work no more, you know. So you could easily say, oh, why even bother? Why even try? I can't do it. I never have done it before. I've always made this mistake. I've never followed through. That's who I am. I'm ashamed. I accept that. Well, that's a lie. Because the Bible says the greater is the one that's in us. That's Him. And that's what we need to start to yield to. And we start to walk in this. And, you know, my goal is to see people get set free. Because what we have to do is be willing to take that risk. Because, you know, most of the things I found in life that I really want just lie on the other side of fear. Right on the other side of fear. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I'd like to, you know, maybe, you know, help the persecuted church or maybe put a well in, and the money seems like it's a little hot, you know, expensive, you know. But I really want to do that. You know, do I really want to expend my faith for something big, knowing that I may not make it sometimes? But see, I really want that, so I got to get past that fear and be able to step out and start to trust God. You know, you remember the story about Peter, and we have to remember that risk is part of life. You know, people who say they never fail usually probably never try anything new. And that's the way it is. It's so easy to stay in our zone, you know what I mean? There's certain things I know I'm fairly capable at, and I don't even really have to think about it. You know what I mean? I just know how to do that. But every now and then, I just got to step out of that zone and get to the place where I need to be. Now, you know, Peter, you know, an example of somebody that failed God, he was there listening to Jesus, and Jesus was telling him, you know, hey, this is what's going down. This is the Brad Gray version. You know, this is what's going down. I got to die on the cross, and all these things are going to happen. I'm sure the disciples were sitting going, say, what? You know, here you are. You raise dead people. You heal people, all these things. And, you know, why do you got to die? You know, what's up with that? I mean, there ain't nobody could take you, Master. I mean, you got the power, dude. So Peter, he started to kind of interject some of his opinions and things like that. And he said, Lord, I will lay my life down for you. I will die for you. That's pretty serious. So Peter made that bold statement, and, you know, maybe we've made that statement before. But then what happened? Jesus said to him, he says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the night's over, man. You're going to deny me. Oh, I'm sure that was hard to handle. Well, how can that happen? I've just said I'm following Jesus. I mean, I'm willing to die for him. I'm doing anything for him. Well, lo and behold, when pressure was applied, Peter became afraid. Afraid of what people think. Okay? Because here he just witnessed Jesus maybe getting taken, and he allowed it. And then all of a sudden, you know, Peter just, he just wanted to be close to Jesus, so he came, and, you know, all the other disciples, at least, you know, they left and ran, but at least Peter came. But then he came there, and he was waiting with everybody, and all of a sudden, they just said, hey, you're one of those Galileans, you know, and all this thing, you know, and, you know, you talk like him, and things like this. And he said, no. Three times he denied the Lord in one night. Beat my record. I just did it once. Three times he denied the Lord. Now, Jesus didn't kick him to the curb. You know, that was Jesus' greatest time, hour. And I mean, his followers, I mean, failed him. I mean, he prayed in the garden, and, you know, they couldn't even stay awake for an hour, and, you know, all these things. And now here this happened. You know, I'm sure it's very kind of tough. But, you know, then later on, it talks about how Jesus came and he found his disciples, and they were fishing. They'd walked away from the ministry. You know, they seen Jesus, you know, crucified, died, and, you know, all these things. So they went back to fishing. You know, they went back into the, you know, their profession because, you know, they didn't see that there was a great need for followers right now. Well, Jesus showed up, and then he cooked the food, or they cooked the food and things like that, told them where to fish. But anyway, he talked to Peter personally. He zeroed in on him. He just called him out in front of everybody. You know, and three times he asked, Peter, do you love my lambs? Do you love my sheep? And the third time, Peter got a little frustrated. But what I saw from that, Peter denied him three times. Jesus gave him opportunity three times to reconsecrate his life to him, to restore him from all the negative things. I want us to see today, you know, that God will restore us if we feel that we failed him. Don't think you've gone too far, that you can't come back now. I remember a time in my life, I was dabbling with Christianity. You know, I was coming to church every Sunday, and you've heard my testimony. But I went and, you know, some of you have been here long enough to hear this before, so just pretend it's new, you know. But, you know, I went backpacking around Europe before I really dedicated my life to the Lord. And I was over there, and I was down in Greece, and we was on a boat, and I met a bunch of people, and I was not aware. See, I'd been going to church for probably 6-8 months or better. And I was not aware that I was holy. I was a holy person to these other people, so I don't know what the deal was. And they kept apologizing because they kept saying bad words. And I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to cuss in front of you. What? You know, I didn't know. And finally, he says, I denied the Lord there. I just said, no, I'm not that. You know, and then I went headlong over into bad stuff. You know, I had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. So I was kind of churchy, or you know, talking Jesus a little bit, and that. But the other half of me, I was still in the world. And you know, it was a hard deal right there when I did that. I recognize that. But the thing was, I wasn't born again yet. And see, Peter wasn't born again when this happened to him. He hadn't received the Spirit inside of him. He was just operating just like an unbeliever. That's in nature. And see, once you're born again, that helps. It gives us that edge that we need to overcome these sort of things in our life. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, we're still going to make mistakes, but we have to understand that. And, you know, God restored me through that whole thing. And I was able to get both feet into the kingdom. And I took that foot out of the world. And we got to do that. That's a choice we make. You know, I was doing all right. I mean, hypothetically, when I would go to church, you know, I would kind of blend in. You know what I mean? It was a big church, so I blended. You know, I didn't, you know, do too much. And I've always told you this story. I wasn't even born again yet. I mean, I'll be honest. And this is how goofy I was. I knew I wanted to change my life, and you've heard this before. So I knew my problem is that on the weekends, I needed something non-party to do, okay? Because that was just how I rolled for 7 years. So what I did is I saw something in the church bulletin about evangelism on Friday night. I kid you not, I did not know what that meant. I just knew that I wouldn't go out partying because I was going to a church function. So I walked up there and we went in this. I lived on the south side of the church. My house, as fate would have it, was only 2 blocks from the church. I mean, it was a God setup all the way. But I walked in there on the south side and walked upstairs to the room, and they started explaining what we're going to do that night. We were going down to East Colfax in a very dangerous part of town, which is either here or there, and we were going to go talk to people about Jesus and pass them out information. You know, with the drug addicts, the prostitutes, all these things going on. I'm just sitting there going, oh my goodness. I had no clue this is what we were going to do. So I was just sitting there, and I kind of blended in, acted real cool about it. And, you know, after that, we would all go to the cars and hop in cars, and we'd hop down. We'd just drive over there, and we'd meet, and we'd go pass things out. Well, we prayed, and I just kind of followed them down. They all went out the north door. I went back out the south door, baby. I went home. I could not do that. I was not there. Of course, I wasn't born again yet. A year later, I was leading that group. Amen. That's what God can do. Amen. I felt like a failure. I remember the first day I started Bible school, I felt like a failure. Because I was, and it's not me, if I'm 10 minutes early, I'm still late. I'm always early to everything. But something happened that day. It was my first day of Bible school, and I wasn't working as an electrician that day, so I was going to go to the day group. We had 2 groups in Bible school. We had the day people, and we had the night people. And somehow the day people seemed like they were up here, and as night people, we were down here. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of a little lower on the totem pole because, you know, we, you know, weren't that serious about it because we wouldn't quit our jobs and go up there, you know, and go there. But anyway, what happened the first day, I went to the Bible school, and it was up in the room, and I, for whatever reason, I was just running a few minutes late, and they'd already started singing. I walked up to that door. I could not go in. I didn't feel worthy enough to go in late. I'd only been saved about a month and a half, people. You know what I mean? I didn't have a lot of wisdom here, you know, and didn't have a real strong identity in Christ yet. I walked away from that door and I went home. I still remember that day. But it wasn't long later, you know, God started to build me up. And see, that's what you got to do. You got to let God start to build you up and take you from, you know, to me, he took me from nothing. And then in a little while, he started to make me into something. And that's what we need to understand. You know, God uses people that aren't perfect. We have to remember that. God uses people that aren't perfect. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I fit that bill, you know. But see, the thing is, I could have walked away and not went back and said, oh, this is all a waste of time. I'm not never going to be good enough. But no, I went there that night. I went there. And I started to learn. I started to pay attention. I sat in the front row. I got spit on I don't know how many times. I mean, it was only a few feet from the teacher. But I sat up in front. I paid attention. I wrote things down. I started looking it over and go back over the notes. I was like a sponge because I wanted it. I just didn't think I was good enough to get it in the beginning. But as you put more in, God starts to change our life. And then we can not be afraid to do new things. Which brings me to my next point here, the fear of failure. You know, if we, like I said, if we have that, you know, fear of failure, we're never going to try new things. And we got to get over that in our life. You know, sometimes the Lord, I believe, will try to stretch our faith. He'll test us. He'll stretch our faith. He'll have us step out into things that maybe we don't feel comfortable with right now. Things that we really, you know, he wants us to do because he knows there's some growth, you know, that we're going to get out of this thing. What I found out in my life is when we follow the Lord, we do not need all the answers. We just need the next step. Amen? We just need the next step. We want to know the whole plan as a rule. I mean, we like to see the big picture, and sometimes God just doesn't give us that. He just wants us to take the next step. This is what I want you to do. Take the next step. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to understand everything. Just take the next step. And God will start to give you more. And that's how we start to learn. We explore. You know, Jesus, you know, on one hand came to give us comfort, but he never came to make us feel comfortable. Because when we feel comfortable and we get settled in, we're not ready to change. We're not ready to step out and to try new things and to explore new opportunities, you know, that he has for our life. You know, growing pains, everybody has them. To me, growing pains is where we get the greatest gain. We have to understand that. When God starts to stretch us and we start to grow and we start to assimilate and bring the information inside of us and internalize it and starting to let the Holy Spirit really start to work, and it's challenging because what's happening here is there's a collision that's going on inside of us sometimes, because what happens is that we have this certain set of beliefs that's been established in our life for years. Then all of a sudden the Word of God starts to come into our life and it starts to challenge those things. It starts to challenge what we believe, the way we see the world around us. You know, the things that, you know, God, you know, is maybe leading us into doing. Now, another thing that's going to freak you guys out is in Bible school, I led worship. You know what I mean? Can't clap, can't sing. But I knew, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be closer to God. And I figured, I looked at it, you know, that's just how it worked, you know. Now, they didn't have me do it on all the time, but every now and then I'd get up there. We took turns, so it was my turn. But I don't feel comfortable doing that. But I had to step out of my comfort zone because God will stretch our faith. So Jesus come to do that in our life. Now, what happens is what holds us back, this fear, is that when we let self-worth, you know, it cannot be based on performance, but on our supernatural identity. I want to look at our supernatural identity for a minute. See, we need that supernatural identity. It's the identity you can only get from God. Now, this church can't place a stamp on you about your identity. You know, we try to do the best we can. But what has to happen is it has to come from God. God has to come inside of you. And it starts to change the way that we look and the way we see ourselves. I mean, you know, He just changes. It's that supernatural identity that comes inside of you. Supernatural means it's not of this world. It's got to be by the Spirit of God. God comes inside of us and starts to change us. And we start to understand everything that he has for our life, because we start to think like a Christian, we start to walk like a Christian, we start to talk like a Christian, and then we don't bow our knee again to any devil, amen? We don't have to fear the devil. We start to walk in that because the greater one lives inside of us. It's not because of how good we are, it's because how good he is inside of us. And we can start to walk in that power. So we need to let that self-worth that we have, and everybody needs it, not to be based on all of our actions, but what Jesus has done in our life, because we still are going to miss it. Now, I found that not everything that we try in life will be foolproof, because sometimes we do foolish things, right? Sometimes we do foolish things, and we need to just get past that and let it go. You know, we need to Lastly, on this point, relax and let go of the pressure to perform mentality. Just let it go. Just get rid of it out of your life. Always try to do your best, but you're not ever always going to be the best. And you need to learn to accept that. Okay, lastly, we're going to look at the idea that failure is never final. I'm going to try to give us some points and some thoughts about how we can, maybe you've dealt with this in your life, maybe you're a victim of it, and how we can turn ourselves into be a victor. That failure is never final. Failure is never final. There's no shame in failure as long as you keep getting up. Remember it said a righteous man falls 7 times but rises again. You got to keep getting up. Don't stay down. You know, maybe you feel, maybe you need a good illustration. Maybe you need to think about the Rocky movie. Watch Rocky 1. You want to see somebody that keeps getting up. I mean, he just keeps getting up. You know, we just got to be that way sometimes. You might feel like the devil's just beating the pulp out of you. Maybe he's lying to you. Maybe you've been in that situation for years. It's hard to turn that corner. Maybe you live in a toxic environment. You know, and you have to learn how to deal with these things. All I say is just keep getting up. Amen. Maybe you're in a bad marriage. You know, maybe you have a bad workplace. Whatever the case may be, just keep getting up. Keep showing up. And if you make a mistake, take responsibility for that mistake. If we say something wrong or do something wrong, accept it, repent, and go on. Learn from our experiences. You know, be a learner. Don't repeat mistakes constantly. You know, learn from those. Don't ever be afraid to fail, rather be afraid to never try. We have to get to that place in our life. You know, never be afraid to try. If what we're doing isn't working, well, maybe we need to tweak something, right on? You know, we need to get to that. We just got to tweak it, maybe turn it, try something different. You know, let God, you know, start to maybe lead us a different direction, see what else works. You know, I think that, you know, faith projects are good for us. The things that God challenges us to do. It's so easy just to play church and never try to stretch ourselves. You know what I mean? And never try for something big. But sometimes we need to do that. Because what I found too in failure has a way that it refines us. So we need to let failure refine you. Never let failure define you. You know, some of the greatest learning things I have is when I maybe didn't do something right. And what I found out is, don't have to do that again. Amen. That didn't work. So, wow, don't have to try that again. Amen. So forget the pain of failure, but remember the lesson that it taught us. Forget the pain of failure, but remember that lesson. We need to start turn setbacks into stepping stones. You know, when we need to take those Satan-exposed lies and replace them with God-revealed truth, okay? Because we have those, because as you get into the Word, as you spend time with God, as you come to Bible studies and you sit under the teaching, you know, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost, see, that's what the good thing is. You know, I'm not in this alone and neither are you. It's the Holy Spirit's here. He's the teacher. I can be talking about something and I'll get it close to a certain area of your life. Well, then the Holy Ghost will take it all the way. Amen? The Holy Ghost will come in and he'll start to reveal something to you that, oh, you know, maybe this ain't quite right. Maybe something is a little off in my thinking. And so then he starts to bring correction. Correction's okay. Correct your course. I mean, if you're going the wrong direction, don't be bullheaded to keep staying on that course. Amen? Amen. You know, if you're driving and, you know, you got that thing talking on the GPS, I use it sometimes, not too much. I like to go by picture. I just take a picture where I'm going. I try to go that way. I don't like being told what to do by that person on the other end of that phone. I don't know who that is. Anyway, have you ever missed your turn? Recalculating. Till you have to either turn around or shut that thing off. You know, I'd say turn around. Turn around. Go back and get back on track. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, he wants to recalculate us and get us back to where we need to be. But that comes by if we are willing to be taught. You know, some of the things that I learned as a kid and in the world growing up weren't godly. They were they were good as far as morally, some of them, to a degree, but they weren't what God had. And so you have to uproot those things and break those patterns, you know. And something that's hard to do is don't make excuses, make solutions, okay? Stop making excuses. This is how we get fixed. You know, oh, my parents raised me this way. That's just the way I am. I mean, yeah, but you don't have to stay that way. You know what I mean? You can change. It's possible. Don't accept failure as what you have to stay. You know, we need to develop that fresh start mentality that God came to give us. You know, that's what I like about it. You know, I'll be honest, I don't like it when I fail God or when I maybe say something or hurt somebody I love. I hate that. I don't want to do that. It's not my intention when I start out, but hey, it happens. That's who I am sometimes. And so easy, you know, now I'm meddling right here, and I think this is, I'm supposed to. What happens in a marriage sometimes is when husband's wife get in a severe disagreement. Some people call it fighting. I just call it a severe disagreement. And let's say one of them apologizes, okay? And they say, I won't do that again. Has anybody ever been there? Come on now, somebody. Well, then about a week later, maybe a day later, you do it again. You know what I'm saying? You do it again. And then you apologize again. And it's hard. You really want to change, but you got a stronghold there you're dealing with. Well, here's what happens. Now, my wife would never do this to me, so that's not what I'm saying now. Have you ever heard this said to you? Have you ever said it? When somebody makes a mistake, you always do that. Well, I mean, that about closes the door right there. You know what I mean? But you got to allow the person a little bit of grace to get back up again. Amen? I mean, unless they're totally meaning to hurt you, I mean, then you got another deal to deal with. But, you know, we don't want to be labeled that way, that we always are that way. And that's what that fresh start mentality is. Every day is a new start. You may have said something wrong. You may have did something wrong. You know, just like, you know, offending somebody. You may have done that, but yet you got to turn that around again and get that fresh start mentality. We need that mentality, and we need to use that for other people. Give them a fresh start. Turn that tide. How do you turn the tide? Find an easy victory. Maybe you failed. Maybe you went down, or maybe you're just hardly getting up. How do you turn that? Well, find something easy to do. You know what I mean? You know, start to feel good about yourself. Maybe do something that's in your wheelhouse and start to gain some momentum. Gain momentum in your life so you can get better. And also, lastly, you know, remember the grace of God. You need the grace. Grace is not an excuse. Grace is empowerment to overcome. Remember, sometimes I may fail, but I'm not a failure. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we honor you today. We thank you so much that, Lord, we know that we're not perfect. There's only one that's perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross, and he died for our sins. He took our place, even though we deserved it, he took it for us. I first want to give an opportunity today, if you're here today, and I want to make sure you're right with God, you know, just to make sure. If you're here today and you feel the Holy Spirit touching you in your heart, saying, yes, you need to make your peace with God, slip up your hand. I'd like to pray with you if you feel you need to do that, whether first time or rededication. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood that washes me and makes me clean. Thank you that you died for me. You took my place. And I repent of doing my own thing. And I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed, I also want to give an opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you feel like maybe you failed. you failed God or just different things going on, I want you to lift up your hand and then put it down. I want to acknowledge that hand. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Father, I pray for each and every person raising their hands today, Lord, as they stick their hand up to you, they're reaching out to you, saying, God, I need your help. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your grace. Lord, right now I just uproot that thought of failure. And Lord, I replace it right now with that idea of supernatural identity, that who they are in Christ, it's not based on their performance, it's based on their relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and saving us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't ever believe that you're a failure. God has so many good things for his children.